Well, good morning. So I love what God's allowed me to do. And to be quite honest, I never even imagined I'd be doing it, which is amazing how God works that way a lot of times. We make decisions with certain expectations, thinking things are going to happen in a certain way, and God has all these different plans, which we never could have even imagined. I really want to talk this morning on this idea of faith and story. Part of what was being mentioned about the church, I moved here about 4 years ago from Alabama to help in church planning. I'd planted a church in Alabama. I'd been working for a church planning network there, and I wanted to be involved in somewhere that there was a need. And I had a friend who lived in Albany, Oregon, and so I'd visited and came down to Eugene. And about 6 months later, I found myself and my family getting getting in a car and headed this way, which was really exciting. But it was really scary. And we just kind of thought God was going to send us here to be part of a church plant. We've got the opportunity to do that. I'm one of the elders and leaders of a church plant called the Beautiful Mess that meets down in the Whitaker neighborhood. That's a very, I don't know if you guys ever spend much time in the Whitaker neighborhood. It's a very different place from here, from this part of the neighborhood. And it's a really different place from Albertville, Alabama, where I'm from. It's a much different world. I love when people come in to visit with me from Alabama. One of the first things I do is try to take them to the Wandering Goat on some Friday night. I don't know if you guys have ever been to the Wandering Goat. It's a coffee shop. And I remember taking my pastor for the church that I'd planted in Alabama, the guy who was leading it there. And we went in there, and there's these two women. I hope it wasn't one of you. Please, gosh, if it's one of you, don't be offended. I just realized to an Alabama guy, this was weird. There's these two women up there, and they had a video, like a recorder. It's a kind of instrument that records what you do and plays it back. And one drum, one big tom drum. And the woman would hit the drum, dum, dum, dum. And this other lady on the recorder would go, oh, oh. And she would like hit it and record this music. And that was the performance for the night. Now, we don't have those top performances in Alabama. And it was so great for this guy to go, oh my gosh, Quentin, where have you taken me? Are we still in America? It was awesome. But the church in the Whitaker, Beautiful Mess, is doing well, and we're reaching that people group there. In fact, last Sunday, what we do is one Sunday a month, we do what we call Adopt a Block, and we just go and help people clean up their yards, and we help do flower beds and do things. And it's just been spreading. This last time, the guy we had helped the month prior took us to four or five different places to help out. We actually even helped at a co-op there that they call Bike Church, which has nothing to do with Jesus. They call it Bike Church because they say they worship bikes there. They just work on bikes, make the funky bikes, have you ever seen the people like riding around the huge, tall bikes? They make a lot of those bikes there. And we got to help do some of their landscaping for them and begin to have interaction. And it was really great for them to see. And when they ask us, we say, why are you doing this? We say, man, because Jesus loves us and we want to serve our community. It's what we feel like He's called us to do. And so it's been really cool to watch things like that take place. Somehow, I moved here. Well, I know how. I moved here to do the church planting. And I had to find a job. And I was working at a job that wasn't paying great. It was still doing good work. It was at a place called Jasper Mountain. I don't know if you guys have heard of that. I was working with kids there. But I was on the entry level, and I had a family, had $2 at a time. I have three now. And somehow it came across the table. I'm having coffee with a guy one day, and he goes, hey, the new director for the mission was looking to hire somebody. They're wanting to hire a chaplain. And here's the job description. He'd left it with me. You might check it out. And I read through it, and on there, and I can remember, it said things like celebrate recovery, because they'd started doing celebrate recovery, and we had planted a celebrate recovery in Alabama. It said, pastoral duties, which I'd done as a pastor before. And then it said, so the social service aspect, which my degree's in psychology, and I worked as a social service case manager in the state of Alabama for a while when we were planting churches. So I kind of had the right things, but I've been in this area about 6 months. But to be quite honest, the reason I wanted to go see this director is because it had a salary that my family could live on, and it had insurance for like my whole family. And at that time, I was like, this is before this change, I was like, man, I want this job because of that. I didn't know anything about the mission. I'd never been to the mission. I'd never worked in homeless ministry. I'd never done any of that. I needed a salary and insurance. So I'm just being completely honest. That was my motivation. And in fact, when Jack said, why did you want to talk about this job? I go, well, because you got insurance. And then he's like, okay, well, let's talk. And I was real honest about the fact that I would do a good job, but I wasn't realizing what I was getting into. And Jack came there with a real vision to transform things in a real radical way, and it's been great to be. I was his first hire. We've got to work together this whole time. And I think what I've really enjoyed about the mission from day one, and it's seen in my life as well, is that every time a man or woman comes to that mission, what God began to teach me is that they have stories, that they're not just names. They're not just another homeless person. They're not just numbers. They're not just statistics. They're stories. And in the same way that my life was a story. And what I can see looking back now is when I had this faith to take this step to come out to Eugene, Oregon, God began to change my story. And it just became really clear to me, and what I want to talk about this morning is that faith changes our stories. See, we all have stories. You guys have stories. And I love just sitting down and talking about our stories. But if you can look back, probably the points when they changed the most was when it took you having an amount of faith in what God was asking you to do. And sometimes our stories don't change and stay stagnant because we lack the faith to do the things that God's calling us to do. Faith changes the story. You know, at the Eugene Mission, we've now started a year-long discipleship wellness program that we call the Life Change Program. This end of this month, our first class graduates. 7 men and 4 women who've went through a year-long of classes as Bible studies, life skills, going through recovery, behavior classes. I mean, they've taken about between 30 and 35 classes over the course of a year. And they've served in our community, doing community service. They've served at the mission 20 hours a week. They have been in a very intensive program. It took faith for them to want to go there and do that. But now of that, we're already getting people in jobs. We're connecting them with housing. And their story of these men and women who came broken with nothing a year ago is completely changing. Faith is changing their story. God is taking their faith and doing something that they couldn't even imagine be possible to happen. Last Sunday, baptized 9 men and women in the Life Change Program who came to the mission not understanding who Jesus was, and once there, gave their life to Christ and now are involved in churches in our community and are following Jesus and living their life for Him. It's amazing. You got to come. Look, you want to come, you can come down to the mission, call, get a hold of me, and just come see what's happening. It's really incredible. This isn't just a place now where we just feed and house people. We do that, which is important. But we're also giving them the tools now to become back in the community and begin to really prosper. And not just financially, but in their self, knowing that they got purpose with the Lord. It's been really amazing to watch. So this morning, I want to take some time and just talk about this faith-changing story. Because as much as I've seen it be real to what's been going on at the mission, I think it's just as real in our lives. I'm going to do it by looking at a scripture in Luke chapter 8. If you have your Bible and want to turn there, Luke chapter 8. And this is really two stories, because we're talking about how faith changes stories. So we're really looking at two stories here. Now this is coming after Jesus has been going around teaching some. He just healed this demon-possessed man. Really interesting story where he throws the demons into the pigs. Don't understand all that. Right? I had to preach on that the week before this scripture at the Beautiful Mess, and we looked into all that, and man, there's a lot going on there. But it's caused quite a stir. In fact, so much so that in light of God's miraculous healing of this man, the people in that community asked Jesus to leave, because it kind of scares them. So he asked Jesus to leave. And so Jesus has left, and he's came back, and it says in verse 40 is where we're going to pick up. I'm going to read this through, and then we'll just talk about some of this stuff. So now, when Jesus returned, the crowd welcomed him. But they were all waiting for him. And there came to a man named Jairus, who was ruler of the synagogue. And falling at Jesus' feet, he implored him to come to his house, for he had only one daughter. He had an only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she was dying. As Jesus went, the people pressed around him. And there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years. And though she had spent all her living on physicians, she could not be healed by anyone. She came up behind him and touched the fringe of his garment, and immediately her discharge of blood ceased. And Jesus said, "Who was it that touched me?" When all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the crowd surrounds you and are pressing in on you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me, for I perceive that power has gone out from me." And when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him, declared in the presence of all the people why she had touched him, and how she had immediately been healed. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." And while he was still speaking, someone from the ruler's house came and said, "Your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher anymore." But Jesus, on hearing this, answered him, "Do not fear, only believe, and she will be well." And when he came to the house, he allowed no one to enter with him, except Peter and John and James and the father and mother of the child. And all were weeping and mourning for her, but he said, "Do not weep, for she is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. But taking her by the hand, he called, saying, "Child, arise." And her spirit returned, and she got up at once. And he directed that something should be given her to eat. And her parents were amazed, but he charged them to tell no one what had happened. Let's pray real quick. God, as we look at your word, can you just let us see the power that you have, God? How that our lives are shaped by you, God. And that faith in you can cause amazing things to happen. God, just allow us to see this. Allow us to trust your word teaches us. Allow us to hear from your spirit. Pray us in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, there's a, I have like some, you're going to find I'm not near refined enough for a lot of places. That's why I work out really well at the Eugene Mission. But one of the things I must confess I used to do, and I'm just going to be honest about it. I don't know if it's right or wrong, but it felt good in the moment. Okay. I used to stay up real late at night as a teenager. And I was raised in the church from a very young age. I was raised very fundamental missionary Baptist church. We didn't handle snakes, but I could have took you to the churches down the road that did handle snakes. So it was like really fundamentalist. Like all the things you think about when I say Alabama, most of those are true. Like in the church I went to, it's a lot real fundamental place. And but I learned a lot of the Bible, which was good for me. It taught me a lot of stuff about the Bible that I take with me now. That's a lot of grounding, a lot of trusting in God's word. But I used to get so upset. I remember when MTV came on, like I was like a fan. Like that was in my age when it just started, you know, in the 80s. And my parents didn't want me to watch MTV, so I'd stay up real late at night and I'd watch MTV. And then BET came on, Black Entertainment Television. I don't know if you guys remember when that came on. And I used to stay up and I used to turn BET on late at night. And this white preacher guy would get on there. I didn't know his name at the time. Come out to find later, it was a guy named Robert Tilton, right? And he would do all these things about if you would give so much money, then God's going to bless you. You just have to have the faith to give this much money right now, and God's going to bless you. Just call and do it. If you have a prayer, all you got to do is sow a seed in faith, and God will answer that prayer right now. And I used to get my phone late at night, all right, when my parents were asleep. I used to call those numbers and just mess with those people so much. Now, again, I don't know if that's right or wrong, but I was so upset about that idea. I would like say, "I need this prayer answered," and they go, "Well, how much can you give?" I go, "Oh, I don't know, maybe like 12 cents. I could give 12 cents. Is that cool?" And like, "No, you got to give." And I would just go back and forth. It was just this thing that I did, but it bothered me how people felt like they had a market on faith. Faith was equated to a dollar amount. You know, and that if you could give a certain amount of faith, then you had the answer to the question would be right there. It was kind of like you've seen that movie Big. I used to love that movie Big, Tom Hanks, where you put the quarter in, you do the thing, and then the magic genie tells you what comes out. And it's almost like that preacher that night was saying that's who God was. And that's what our faith was about. Put a quarter in, ask the question, and the answer comes out. And the truth is that faith is something much deeper than that. God's not this genie waiting for us to ask him the question to give us the answer. God is the Lord of all, the Lord of this universe, the creator of everything. And he has sent us on a life story that faith can affect. It's amazing. So we see these people here who are on this story. We see two characters that we want to look at primarily. We see this woman that we don't have a name for, who has this this bleeding issue. It's probably something that went on, was a menstrual cycle issue that was going on for 12 years. All right, it was a really hard thing for her to handle. It was something that she probably would have been embarrassed about. It's something that she would want healed, and she went to doctor after doctor, tried to get it fixed, and can't get it fixed. And then we have Jairus' daughter, who's a 12-year-old girl who finds herself very sick and at the point of death. Two people, two stories. And in these stories, they have these expectations of how they're supposed to go. But the faith is interjected by this woman and by Jairus's, by Jairus himself, changed the story of these two characters. And the truth is that we need to look and see if we having the type of faith in our life that's changing our story. So what can we see that these people did? The first thing I think we need to realize is that this woman realized that it was a great risk for her to go to Jesus. So, well, Quentin, why was it a risk? If she was hemorrhaging the way that the Bible describes, the way that most historians think, and she was having this issue with the menstruation, she would be considered unclean in Jewish culture. So first off, she should not even have been around that crowd. She should have been locked up somewhere in her house, separated, because she would have been seen unclean to the culture around her. She was a woman. She's going and trying to press toward Jesus by herself. But something inside of her made her realize that, you know what, if this thing's going to change, the only chance I have is to really get close to Jesus. And can I tell you, when we talk about our story changing, the first thing we have to get to is we have to understand if faith is going to change our story, it's only going to happen when we get really, really close to Jesus. When you're going through things in your life and trying to figure out what's supposed to happen next, man, the best thing you can do is do whatever it takes for you to get close to Jesus. That means you going away and spending time up in the mountaintop with your Bible and a notebook. If that means you setting time for prayer every morning, if that means you talking to people who encourage you in your faith, listen to a sermon, I don't know. But when you're really trying to figure out what your life story is going to look like next, the best thing you can do is get close to Jesus. Find that place. You have to do that. It's where we have to be. And in fact, for some of us, our lives maybe and our stories have gotten stagnant. In fact, maybe some of us, I think there's Christians everywhere who are really hemorrhaging, who are bleeding because their life isn't living up to the thought or expectation they hoped it would be. Their story is something less than they thought maybe it should be. And they don't feel like they have purpose or passion in what they're doing. They just feel like they're making it from day to day, paying the bills, doing the thing, and it's just kind of like you're stuck in these ruts. If you find yourself there, the best first thing you can do is get close to Jesus. Because as you get closer to Him, things begin to change. You begin to hear things different. You begin to see things different. You begin to feel things different. And this woman, when she realizes that she's going to take this risk to get close to Jesus. Here's the next thing I'd say about faith is that when God gives you a step to take of faith in your story, it a lot of times is going to look like a risk. It is. When I moved out here to Oregon, I didn't have a job lined up, and a lot of people thought that was foolish. I mean, I had some money saved, you know, I had enough to move out here, enough to keep us going for a couple months. That's what I had. And I just knew God was leading us out here. And I knew I was going to find a job, but I didn't know what it looked like. There is risk. There's a thing you'll hear from every great person who's taken risk in their life. You know, look, the risk, and this for this woman, she'd say this, the risk was worth the reward. When we have faith to do what Jesus calls us to do, when this woman crawled through and did whatever it took to get to Jesus and touch Him, she's healed. Her story changes dramatically. It's not just that she's just healed. She's now clean. She's now got a new lease on life. She's now probably had years added to her life. She now has a new purpose and understanding of who Jesus is. She now understands what life can all be about. Everything has changed. The risk was worth the reward for her. And sometimes we have to understand, we don't know what it's going to look like when we trust Jesus and things He's calling us to do. But I assure you, if God's telling you to do something, and make sure it's God and not like indigestion, all right? But if God's telling you to do something, the risk is worth the reward. You know? It is. You'll see incredible things happen. You know, this woman, she takes this risk, she takes this great risk. She goes there and she touches Jesus. And then Jesus asks this question, "Who touched me?" Which I love when Jesus asks questions, because, you know, Jesus is God's Son. Jesus is God. He knows everything. But I just love when Jesus asks questions. This was both rhetorical and to the disciples ridiculous in the moment. Because rhetorical to me, because Jesus knows everything. But ridiculous to them, because a lot of people were touching Jesus, is what they said. They're like, Jesus, we're kind of in a crowd here, and everybody's pressing in on you, so I don't really know what you mean, who touched you. A lot of people have touched you. But it's really important that Jesus singles this thing out. Because you see how a lot of people were touching Jesus, but this one woman was really coming with some faith. You know? It's kind of like the same way a lot of people come to Jesus nowadays. I mean, in a lot of ways, you know, and say a lot of things and like, "Oh yeah, I believe," and we do what we call maybe religious acts. We do things that seem good, and they are good. But this woman is doing the same thing everybody else is doing. A lot of people are touching Jesus, but she comes with this faith that really singles her out to Jesus. And I think, you know, when we come to church, I love church. I love this church. I love Aaron Box. I think he's an amazing guy. I love some of the stuff I hear you guys doing with the community, the food stuff. Like, all that stuff gets me really excited. Those are the things that I think is just amazing. And it's making an impact in this community. Like, I hear a guy from First Baptist that I know who does mission stuff all over the world. He was in my office a few days ago talking about what your guys' church is doing food-wise in this community. I was like, "Yeah, I know those guys. Those are awesome." I mean, that stuff is amazing. And we have to make sure we keep there, because those are the things that happen when we have faith. And what we can begin to do is just keep being around Jesus and not really having faith for anything to change. And the problem is that looks like when we just come to church just because that's what we always did. You know? "Oh yeah, Sunday morning I just go to church and I don't really do anything else for the Lord." And that's why Jesus, look, don't just be around Jesus. Be around Jesus with this expectation of Him calling you to do something for the gospel's sake. Because that's what He desires from our lives. And that's what this woman, she touches Him with this faith that He's the only one that can change her story. And He does. And you put that in retrospect, so this happens, and it takes a little bit of time, this conversation, this crowd that He's going through. And so she's healed, but then this servant comes up and lets them know that Jairus' daughter's died. But Jesus tells Jairus, don't fear, only believe, and she'll be well. And as I read that, one of the things that stuck out to me so clearly in what I get to do with the mission, and really what I've seen in my own life, is that when He tells them that she's not dead, but she's sleeping. You know? I think so many times I've seen people at the mission and people that I've written off. I'm like, you know what? I know, I say it in my head like this. I know everybody's got a story. And I know God created everybody. But that person's too far gone. That's what I say in my head. Or I say they're playing the game. They've given up. And it was crazy. I was gone for a week and a half, and there was this guy who came into the mission, and then he didn't make it in the Life Change program. He like left after like 3 weeks, and I kind of had just completely written him off, to be quite honest. And I came back, and they had brought him back in. My staff had brought him back into the Life Change program. And he's young, kind of got that young punk mentality where he knows everything. I mean, I was there. I'm probably still there sometimes. But, you know, just, and I went to him and said, almost like, I'm already ready for conflict. I'm almost already going to be abrasive in that moment. "So why are you here again, man?" And he just so humbly said, "Man, I messed up. And the Lord's just, you know, I think God's trying to trying to strip me up, strip me down. Yes, man, even him, like, God has a story for him. And maybe he wasn't really dead. Maybe I thought he was dead. But maybe he was just sleeping. You know? And I think that too, anytime I go into churches that, you know, I get to go to a lot of churches and talk, and I know a lot of times churches are doing amazing things like you guys, but then sometimes churches are struggling, and people want to, like, speak really bad about churches. I don't know why we in the church want to speak so bad about other churches. Because we think, oh, we say, man, that's a, I don't know if you've heard it, I've heard it a lot, you know, that's a dead church. People say that. And I want to go, no, maybe it's not a dead church. Maybe it's just sleeping. Maybe it's just waiting. It's still got a story in it. And Jesus is going to bring that thing alive. And Jesus is going to wake up that person, that organization, that church, and do something amazing in it. See, to Jesus, when we think somebody's story is dead, Jesus doesn't see it that way. He thinks there's still a story to be had. And then maybe one of the most amazing things that I read in the scripture while I was studying it and just really blew me away is it says in verse 53, and they laughed at him knowing that she was dead. Like Jesus says, no, she's not dead, she's sleeping. No, I still have a story for this girl. And people laughed. And it really brought this thought to mind. People laugh at Jesus' perception. You understand that? When you're looking at what you're going to do in your life and how you're following God, let me assure you, if you're following after God, there's going to be times that people are going to laugh at how you're deciding to live your life. I know you guys maybe love Eugene, you've been here your whole life, but when I told people in Alabama I was going to Eugene, Oregon, let me assure you, people laughed, all right? In the same way that you'd probably laugh if somebody said, man, I feel like God's called me to Alabama, you'd go, oh, okay. You know? But when you're really, sincerely chasing after God, and He's writing your story, and He's directing your paths, people laugh at Jesus' perception. All those folks saw a dead girl, and he saw a girl sleeping that had a lot of story, a lot of life left to live. And they laughed. Don't get discouraged by the laughter that's going to come your way when you're completely following God. It's going to happen. It just is. When you're following after God, people aren't going to understand it. I remember I was playing college football when I kind of felt God was really calling me into full-time ministry. I didn't really know what that looked like. I couldn't even really explain that. I just wanted to pursue, at the time, ministering with youth, and I just wanted to really go after that. And I was studying pre-dental. I was playing college football, and I remember that summer I was deciding to kind of change courses. I was on the cusp of leaving the school I was in, of giving up my football scholarship and transferring to a different place where I knew I could do some ministry. And I remember talking to my dad, and I'm going, Dad, he goes, he's like so perplexed. My dad's like, what are you going to do? I went, I don't know. I'm going to do ministry, you know? He goes, and he'd go, no, but what are you going to do for a real job, you know? And he just couldn't get there. He couldn't understand. And people aren't going to understand. And it doesn't mean they're going to be against you. Just Jesus' perception sometimes is laughable to people. You know, my dad's one of my biggest supporters now. And some days he still doesn't understand it. But he loves me and he supports. And those things are going to come when you really follow Jesus. When this church follows Jesus, you're going to do things that people go, why would you do that? You know, other churches go, that's silly. Why would you spend so much resources on food things at the school? That seems silly. And you go, no, it's what God's called us to do. It's a story. You know? And then maybe the most, I don't know, the thing that stuck out the most in the story, I skipped it on purpose to go back to it. Verse 47 says, when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him and declared in the presence of all the people why she had touched him and how she had been immediately healed. This lady gets called out by Jesus after she touches him, after she takes this risk, after her story's been changed, and she trembles. And there's something about that word. It made me ask myself this question. It said, I'm sitting there going, Quentin, when's the last time you had faith that led you to a place of trembling? When's the last time I took a step of faith that I was like, oh, this is a lot bigger than me? Like, I'm either going to, this is going to be either really good or really bad, and it's totally up to God. You know, I believe we're supposed to be there. We're sometimes so scared of failure that what we do instead is we take steps that we know are going to sustain us. You know, we don't leap. It's, you guys ever seen the Indiana Jones movies? You know, we have to take that step onto that invisible bridge there. We don't take those type steps. We hang close to the rocks and like scoot it around because, you know, feel it out and make sure it's going to hold. But we have to. We need to be at a place where we're not trusting in our own strength, but we're trusting in God. We need that place. We need that type of faith. Because of the impact from those things, when people look at us and go, how did you do that? And you go, I didn't. Like it was God. People look at me and go, how did you come up with a year-long program for a homeless shelter? Like, how did you come up with this life change program? I go, I don't know. I've never done that before. I didn't pursue that. It was God. Then big things happen, not for our glory, but for God's glory. And that's where we need to be. It's crazy. So after, you know, when he asked this, it says that she's trembling and she declares in the presence of all the people. Get this? She declares in the presence of all the people why she had touched him and how she had been immediately healed. Her faith leads to her testifying about the power of Jesus to all the people. She confesses who she was and who she now is because of Jesus. Is that not the gospel? When we have been so changed, by our faith in Jesus has so changed us, and we are able to do things that are so far beyond us that we have to stand there and go, this is who I was. I was the guy prank calling the pastors on TV at 12 midnight. And now I'm like doing some kind of recovery thing for homeless, and it's crazy. And it's all because of Jesus. That's this amazing place we get to be. We get to be these people who share what God has done in the presence of people. And it's a beautiful thing. And it's what our stories are all about. Our stories, and here's the key of it, faith changes our stories. Our stories are here not to bring ourselves glory. You know, I love somebody taught one time that when we die, you know, I had a good friend that died at 5 o'clock this morning. She was only about, I think she was 47, and she had brain cancer. She died this morning at 5 a.m. And the thing that's going to, when she goes and gets buried, they're going to put a headstone up, and it's going to have her birth date, and it's going to have her death, and it's going to have this little dash in between. It's a little dash. And most people live their whole lives to try to make that little dash mean something. But God has given those of us who know Him and are in relationship with Him, who are believers and followers of Jesus, He's given us this opportunity to not make our lives about that little dash, but to make our lives about the gospel, about the kingdom, about Him. And through that, we get to bring God glory. We get to let people know how to have eternal life, not to make a dash mean something so that somebody names a building after us or somebody builds a statue, but so that people can eternally experience love of God. And that's what our stories are about. And that's why faith is so important in those stories. That's why He calls us to continually seek after Him in faith. Mother Teresa has an amazing quote. That's one of my favorite quotes. She says that we're all just pencils in the hands of God. We're pencils. And God's writing His story with us. His story of redemption. story of passion, a story of love, a story of mercy, a story of grace is being written by you and me every day and how we live this life. You know, I heard this done one time, and it stuck with me. This guy said, and I'll end with this. He said, what we do, he was talking in youth ministry. He said, what we do is we get a sheet of paper. By the way, I should show you. This is one of my daughter's notebooks. I get the leftover notebooks. It's got like lipstick and stuff on it. It's awesome. What we do is we get sheets of paper, and we write out these amazing stories, sometimes really great stories. I'm going to be a missionary for 4 years. I'm going to get a job. I'm going to help support two kids in Africa. And then I'm going to marry some, I'm going to marry a girl. And we're going to get married when I'm 25 and she's 23. That sounds like a good age. And then we're going to have, 3.2 kids. And we're going to have the dog and the white fence. Our house is going to be nice. It's going to be about 2 and a quarter acres. We write this really story, not an evil story. None of us are writing anyone to be like the dictators of America. We're going to cause a revolution and take over. We're not writing that. We're writing good stories. And for many of us, stories that would do really good things. In fact, even sometimes stories that would do things to expand the kingdom and the gospel. And we write those stories out in our heads. And we say, okay, God, here's the story. Here's what I want to do. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be for you. I'm giving my life to you. Here's what I want to look like. Here it is. If you could just sign right here, God, just sign off on this, it'd be amazing. And what this guy said, which I thought was brilliant, was God doesn't want you to write your story down. He doesn't want that. He wants you to get a blank sheet of paper, much like this one. Get your pencil and just sign your name at the bottom. And go ahead and give him the sheet of paper. Let him write the story. And if we're honest, that's a lot scarier to us. But that's what faith does. Faith leads us to the place where we say, God, this is not my story. This is your story. And I intend to live it. So this morning, I hope that we can look at this in light of this woman, in light of Jairus and his belief. Jesus tells both of them, tells Jairus if you believe, and tells this woman that your faith has made you whole. It's this faith. My prayer is this morning that we can walk out of here and leave from this with this idea boring into our brain, drilling in that faith is about giving him the story, letting him write it, trusting him when he leads us, realizing that people are going to laugh, realizing that there's risk, but realizing that it's only in those places that we really live the life that He's called us to live. That's when we begin to experience what it means when Jesus told His disciples, you want to follow me, you must deny yourself, take up your cross, follow me. One version says you must put aside your selfish ambition. You got to leave your story behind. And follow me. We pray. God, this morning that would be my prayer. That you would give us the ability to realize just how amazing you are and how beautiful your story is. And God, that we would be able to take our selfish ambition and lay it down to you. And God, that you would just allow us to live lives that don't just bring us glory or us recognition, God, but that bring you glory. God, that our lives wouldn't be about the dash in between, but would be about eternity. And so, God, let us be willing to take the risk. Let us be willing to have that type of faith. We love you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for thank you that you do write our stories. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Guys, thank you for letting me share. I want to encourage you again, please, anytime you want to come to the mission and see things, feel free. And the amazing stories that are happening there, the amazing changes that are taking place, you're welcome to come see them. And maybe he wants you to be part of it. We have a lot of need for volunteers, and And we always need mentors for these men and women who are going through this life change program. So there's ways to get involved if you want to.